Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Kuf Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 11 lines from the bottom of Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph. Before we begin the actual Gemara, if you counted 11 lines from the bottom, you will have noticed a house shape. And on the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh heading, the Mivneh being the structural note, we explain Teguvos Shoynos Shel Shomer, different responses of a Shomer. Shomer is a Bailey, someone assigned to watch an item. Achar Shitov Uhu Al Gineva Shehit Batzo Meirushuso. Responses of the Shomer after he was summoned as a result of a theft that took place, resulting in an item that he was to watch being stolen. The first topic, the nosei, the topic that we have, Shomer Shitovu Bailim Achrei Gineva Al Yedei Ganav, and an owner of an item that's sought from the Shomer, his item, after it was stolen by a thief, Vashomer Nishba Vegam Shilem Lebailim. The Shomer, the Bailey, swore that it was stolen. In other words, he swore that he was not negligent, but rather it was stolen. Vegam Shilem Lebailim. And then he paid the owner for the item. V'achakach nimtza haganav. And then the thief was found. L'mi mishalem haganav es hakefel. Unto whom is the thief to pay that which he's obligated to pay, the double amount, the double payment? Abaye, we'll see in the Gemara, holds that the payment is made l'bailim, to the owner. And Rava says l'shomer. Now we turn to the Gemara, 11 lines from the bottom. Tavu Bailim L'Shomer. The Bailim is the owner of the article that had been entrusted. So they laid claim regarding their item from the Shomer, from the Bailey. V'nishba V'shileim. The Shomer swore that it was stolen, and beyond the letter of the law, he even paid for the item. Technically speaking, a shomer who opts to swear to confirm his claim of innocence, he can do so, and there's no further expectation of the shomer to pay for it. But in this case, he paid for it. Lifnim mishura sedum, beyond the letter of the law. V'hukar aganav, and then the thief, hukar means was discovered, was recognized who he was. Kefelmi, unto whom shall the thief pay the double payment? Abai Omar Labal Hapikodon. Abai says he shall pay it to the owner of the item. Rova Omar Lami Shapikodon Etzlo, unto the one by whom the article was entrusted, namely he shall pay to the Shomer. Abai Omar Labal Hapikodon. Abai says that the payment of the Kefel is made to the owner of the item. Kevon de atruche b'shvua, lo makni le'kvela. Since the shomer troubled the owner to accept a shvua, he troubled the owner to go to the court where the oath was taken. Based on that, the owner is not willing to part with the double payment that will be made. So he lo makni le, he doesn't transfer the rights to the kefel to the shomer. After the shomer initially troubled the owner to go to court to hear the shvua, the oath taken. So that even though later on the shomer paid the owner the principal value, that is not sufficient for the to motivate the owner to transfer the rights to the double payment to the shomer. Rava Omar, Rava disagrees. He says, "Lemi shapikon etzlo, the shomer, the ganav, the thief will pay his double payment to the shomer. Kevon deshile makni lekfelo, since the shomer paid the owner for the item, he paid him the principal amount. The owner transfers the rights, the eventual rights to kefel, to the double payment to the shomer." The disagreement between Abai and Rava is based on how to make an inference from the following Mishnah from Bava Metzia, Disnan. The Mishnah there says, an owner of a cow or of vessels entrusted them to a shomer, to an unpaid, to a shomer chinam, and they were subsequently stolen or lost. Shilem v'lo rotzu lishova, if the shomer opts to pay the owner and not take the oath that the Torah provides for him, but he didn't exercise that option. Sharei omru shomer chinam nishba v'yotze, it has been said, how, according to letter of the law, the shomer chinam, the unpaid shomer, can swear and fulfill his requirements that way. But he didn't opt for that. He opted to pay for the item. Nimso haganav mishalim shomei kefel. When the thief is discovered, the thief shall pay kefel, the double amount. Tovach umochar, if there was a subsequent slaughter or sale of the stolen item, mishalim tashmei arba v'chamisha, he pays four or five times the principal value. Lami hu mishalim, unto whom shall the thief pay the double amount? And all of this is following from the case that we dashed underline, where the shomer did not swear, he rather paid the owner for the stolen item. So unto whom shall the thief pay the double? Lemi shapikaron etzlo. That's a phrase referring to the shomer, literally the one by whom the article was entrusted. Now another option, nishba v'lo rotzo l'shalem, if the shomer opted to swear and did not want to pay, v'nimtso haganov, and then the thief was found after the shomer swore the oath resulting in his own innocence. The thief was then found. Mishalim teshume kefel, a double payment shall be made. Tovachu mochar mishalim teshume arba v'chamisha, if the stolen item was subsequently slaughtered or sold, the 4-5 multiple payment is made. Lemihu mishalim, unto whom shall the payment be made? Lebala pikonu, to the owner of the item. According to this scenario base, the owner up till now did not receive any compensation. So that if you look at this source, you have the Aleph, the Reisha, payment, no oath. The base, the Seifa of the source, the latter part of the source, you have oath, no payment. What was the situation that the Gemara dealt with, where we had our house marking at the opening of today's shiur? Both took place. There was an oath on the part of the Shomer, plus he paid. Abai and Rava issued their rulings. Where does each one get their respective ruling from? Abai Diek Mereisha. Abai drew an inference from the first part of the source. Rava Diek Miseifa. And Rava did likewise with regard to the latter part of the source. And now the Gemara will spend quite an amount of time till the upper lines of Omid Beis. How each one derive their own point of view, and what does each one do with the fact that the other point of view also has a basis? How do they resolve the alternative approach with their own opinion? So Abaye, we said, inferred from the Reisha, and here the Gemara spells that out. Abaye diik mireisha de katani. Abaye, who said that in the case where there was an oath and payment on the part of the shomer, the thief shall pay to the kefel, to the owner of the item. He inferred that from the reisha de katani. The source said in the Mishnah, shile velo rotso lishava. The reisha in which the Mishnah ruled that the ganav shall pay to the shomer, what were the circumstances that led to that? Because it said that the shomer paid and he didn't want to take an oath. Taima, why is payment of the kefil to the shomer dolorotza lishava? Because the shomer did not want to take an oath. And now the diuk, the inference, ha nishba afalpi sheshilem. However, had the shomer yes sworn, even though he paid, lemi mishalim lebal habikaron, unto whom will he pay? He'll pay to the owner of the item. That's what Abaye had said. The Rashi adds, why is this the case? Because once the shomer troubles the owner to go to court and listen to his oath, the owner is not going to part with the option of receiving the kefel. So that even if the shomer did pay the owner the principal value, the owner doesn't forego the option of getting the double payment. And all of that is a result of the shomer having troubled the owner to go to court to listen to his oath. We continue at the second line from the top of Amud Beis, Rava Diek Miseifa. Rava, who said that the thief will pay the shomer in the case where the shomer had sworn and paid. And where does Rava get the idea that payment will be to the shomer? Payment of the kefel. Miseifa dekotani, from the continuation of the same Mishnah from Bava Metzia, where it said, nishba velo rotso l'shalim. The end of the source spoke about the Bailey swearing, not wanting to pay. And the ruling there was that the kefil will go to the owner. Taima, the reason payment goes to the owner, the lo rotza l'shalem, because the shomer didn't want to pay. Ha shilem, if he paid, afal pishin ishva, even though he also swore, lemi mishalem, unto whom will payment be made, the kefil that the thief will eventually have to pay, lemi shapikonu netzlo, it will be to the shomer. So just once again, as far as Rava is concerned, when does the owner get the kefel? Only if the shomer didn't pay. But if the shomer paid the owner the principal value, even though the shomer may have troubled the owner to go to court, the thief will pay the shomer the double amount, like Rava said. Labaye kashia seifa. Notice we've used a double underline to highlight the problems that are relevant at this point to Abaye and Rava, respectively. So Abaye, who said that where the Shomer had sworn and paid, Abaye ruled the eventual kefa will go to the owner, the ganav, when discovered, will pay the owner the kefel. Well, the seifa poses a difficulty, as Rava already demonstrated that the diuk from the seifa indicated that the shomer would be entitled to get the kefel. So what does Abaye do with that? Omar loch Abaye hachi katani. Mishnah is to be understood thusly. Nishba v'lo rotzel l'shalem kidem hashvul achar hashvua. If the thief, that is the shomer, correction, if the shomer swore and he didn't want to pay initially, but rather paid after the shvua. So you have both happening in the Mishnah. Namely, the shomer swore and then paid, l'mi mishalem l'bal hapikadon, unto whom will payment be made? To the owner of the item. And that is exactly what Abaye had said. L'Rava kashya reisha. According to Rava, when there's a shvua and payment on the part of the shomer, the eventual kefel is to be paid to the shomer. The reisha, though, as we saw before in Abaye's presentation, the reisha would be a difficulty for Rava's position. Omar loch Rava hachi katani. Thusly, we shall understand the reisha. Shilem v'lo rotzo la'amoy b'shvua, so elo shilem. If the guard, the bailey, paid and didn't want to maintain the shvua, he had originally sworn and then paid. So that's the case, in fact, of the reisha of the Mishnah and Bava Metzia. Both happened. Lami mishalem, unto whom shall the thief, who's eventually discovered, pay the kefel? Lami shapikadon etzlo. Kefel shall be paid to the shomer. That is totally in line. That's exactly like Rava had said. And now you can see we have a number two, a new case with the same theme. The owner seeks his entrusted item from the shomer, tavu bailim l'shomer, v'nishba, v'hukar haganov. The shomer swore that it was stolen beyond as a result of circumstances beyond his control, and then the ganov became recognized. We discovered tavoi shomer v'hoida, tavuhu bailim v'kofar. If the shomer sought out the thief, and the thief confessed to having committed the robbery, confessed to the shomer, the owners sought payment from the ganav, and he denied, and then witnesses were brought showing that the thief really was a thief. Mi niftar haganav bohidu ha-shomer, oi loy niftar haganav bohidu ha-shomer. The question here is, does the thief exempt himself from the extra payment, the double payment? The principal, of course, he has to pay, but we call it the double payment. Does he exempt himself by the fact that the shomer, after charging the thief confessed? There's a concept in halacha, I hope many of you have heard of it already, called moide b'knas, when one confesses a knas-type payment, he is thereby exempted from having to make the payment. Knas-type payments include payments that don't match the actual value of the loss. In a case like this, you have a kafel payment. That's a form of knas. And our question here is, the confession that he made to the shomer, that the thief made to the shomer, does that constitute a sufficiently strong confession so as to exempt the thief, even though with regard to his dealings with the owner of the item, he remained in denial, where witnesses subsequently testified that he is a thief. So our question is, once again, is the confession that the thief made to the shomer a sufficient basis of exemption? Omar, before going on, I want to add another level of understanding regarding the second possibility, namely, maybe the confession to the shomer is not considered a sufficient confession to exempt him. The reasoning behind that is that since the Bailey swore initially to the owner that the theft took place beyond his control, the shomer is then out of the picture. The shomer fulfilled whatever obligations he has by having taken that oath, and therefore he's not in the picture anymore as a shomer. And therefore, the Chidah, the confession of the thief to that individual who was in the past the shomer, it's a Chidah that's of no consequence insofar as exempting the thief from paying the kafel. So that was the second side of analysis. The Omar Rava answers, Im be'emes nishba, if the oath taken by the shomer was an honest oath that it was in fact stolen be'oines, just like he claimed, niftar haganav be'hidoas shomer, the thief is exempted from the kafel, from his admission to the shomer. Im b'sheker nishba, if the shomer swore falsely, then lo niftar hagana v'ida shomer, the thief's confession to the shomer is insufficient. Rashi adds quite a bit of background to appreciating these two approaches, two situations. Rashi in the upper part of the narrow line says, Niftar Haganav Bohiduas Shomer. The Kevon Dineamon Hu, since the Shomer swore honestly, he initially claimed that the item was stolen by Ines, and that's what happened. We then bear witness, Anan Sadi, bear witness, Ihave Mashtakha Behemo Nicho Le Lamore Teteve Biode Dehech. And if the animal would be found, the owner would be happy for his animal to be in the hands of this individual, this Shomer, who we see swore honestly. Hilkoch al Shomer Ze Lechazer Achra. Therefore, it's anticipated that this Shomer will seek out the animal. Utviyoso Tviya, and his claim from the thief is a significant claim. Voidas Gana Voidah, and the confession that the thief makes to that Shomer is a meaningful confession, which would exempt from the kafel. However, Rashi goes on, V'im nishba l'sheker, shetayin mei so nishbar o nishba o nignava ba'ines, uva umotza she'eno kain, if the shomer claim that it died, the animal died, or it broke, or it was taken captive, or it was stolen by Oynes, and we then discover that that is not the case, that the claims made by the Shomer were simply not the case, not the reality. So the Kiva de Megalia Milsa de Shakran Have, since it's revealed that he is a liar, Anan Sadi, we, the public, bear witness, de lo nicho le lemoro de leve su Shomer Allah, that the owner is not interested in this person continuing to be a Shomer on it. Utvi also ain't tvi, and therefore the subsequent claim of the Shomer from the Ganav is not considered a claim, and therefore the Ganav's confession to a Shomer who demonstrated that he's a liar, that's not considered a confession. So we continue now in the Gemara. Boy Rava, we have a new marking. You can see a crown shape, and on the side of the one under the Mivne heading, these are Shnei Lashonos B'Sheilas Rava, two versions regarding Rava's question. So the first version, Boy Rava, Omad Lishova B'Sheker V'lo Hinichuhu Mahu. The Shomer was about to swear falsely, but they didn't leave him to do so. Teku. That remains unresolved. In other words, the Rava asked about the Shomer if he swore honestly, so then the confession to the Shomer is a significant confession. If he swore falsely, then the confession to the Shomer is insufficient. Rava wants to know, what if the Shomer was about to swear falsely, but they didn't allow him to continue? So is the confession to a Shomer like that considered a confession on the part of the Ganav? So the Gemara leaves that take with an unresolved issue. Rav Kana Masni Hochi. Up till now, that was Rav Kahana's version. Rav Tevyumi Masni Hochi. Rav Tevyumi presented the appearance of Rava in this fashion. Boy Rava, Nishba L'Sheker Mahu. Let us say that the Shomer swore falsely. It's, as opposed to the previous Loshon, where Rava stated it as a fact that if the Shomer swore falsely, then he's out of the picture. Here Rava raises that as a question. Let us say the Shomer swore falsely. Mahu. What is the status of the subsequent confession that the thief makes after the Shomer himself had sworn falsely? Teku. So that remains unresolved. Tovuhu bailim lashomer v'shileim v'hukar haganov. The owners sought out the bailey for their item, for their entrusted item. And here we've used, again, the diamond here to highlight the reaction of the Shomer. Here was to pay. This in contrast with house number two, where the Shomer's reaction was to swear. Here he paid the owner, V'hukar Aganov, and then the thief was found. Tovuhu Bailim V'hoide Tovu Shomer V'kofar V'hevi Edim. The owners sought the thief, and the thief confessed to having committed the theft to the owner. The Shomer sought out the thief, and in the face of the Shomer, the thief denied. And the Shomer brought witnesses, our question is, what do we say? Niftar ganav bohidas bailim. Is the thief exempted from the need to pay kefel through his admission to the owner? Oh no. Or do we say not so? Me, Amrinon, and now the analysis. Do we say, motzi omer le shemer le bailim? Can the guard, the bailey, say to the owner of the item, Atun kevan de shaklisu l'chudomi, you, once you took money for me, I, the bailey, paid you for your item. Istakliksu l'chu mehocha, you are removed from the picture. And hence, the confession of the thief to you, the owner, is meaningless. And therefore, he remains obligated to pay the kefel. Oy dilma, motzi amri le, or maybe the owners can say to the shomer, we recognize the fact that you paid us. Ki hechi da'at avdis lon milsa, just like you did for us a good turn, you paid us. Anan, nami avdinan loch, we also have done for you a good thing. Tarchinan boser ganva, we troubled ourselves to find the thief. Shakalno anan didon, ushkol at didoch, we took our portion, so to speak, that which we had coming to us. You take that which is coming to you. But the main point here is that we're not out of the picture. Teku. So as how to exactly resolve this remains unresolved. As we continue in the Gemara, you notice a new marking, a volcano shape, on the side under our Mivneh heading. We've noted that there are Roman numerals 1 and 2. These are Shnei Mikrim, two incidents, two examples, Shel Nignava Ba'ines, where an item is stolen through circumstances that were beyond the Shomer's control. So the Gemara now, Itmar Nignava Ba'ines V'hukar HaGanov. The term Nignava Ba'ines, Rashi explains, is a case of an armed theft, which is an example of theft where a Shomer Sochar, a paid Shomer, paid Bailey, is exempt from compensating. The Gemara continues. So the armed theft took place. The bandit was discovered. Omar Abaye. And here we have used a triangle to highlight the names Abaye and Rova. We should note on the side of our Gemara, there's a topic heading that accompanies this, which reads as follows. Nignava Balistim Bezuyin, Mibes Hashemer V'Hukar HaGanov. An armed robbery took place where the item was stolen from the house of the Bailey. Number one, Im Hoyo Shomer Sochar, if the Bailey was a paid Bailey, the Kulei Almo Alav L'Shalem L'Bailim V'Lipora Minaganov. Everyone agrees that the Shomer Sochar is obligated to pay the owner and collect payment in turn from the thief. Im hoya shomer chinam, if the bailey was unpaid, then labaye yochol lishava lebalabayis lebalabayis ipora. He can swear to the balabayis that this was a theft for which he is innocent, he's exempt, and the balabayis will collect from the list him from the bandit, collect payment. L'rova, gam shomer chinam tzorach l'shalem v'lipora min haganov. A shomer chinam, as well as the shomer socher, has to pay the owner, and he will in turn collect his payment from the thief. The Gemara continues. So, Omar Abaye, Im Shomer Chinam Hu, if the Shomer from whom the item was stolen was unpaid, was watched for gratis, Rotsa Oisa Imoidin, Rotsa Nishba. The Shomer could pay the owner, that's Oisa Imoidin, pay the owner, and the Shomer will then collect the payment from the bandit. Alternatively, the Shomer could swear to the owner, and the owner will collect payment from the Ganav. Im Shomer Socherhu, if the Shomer involved was a paid Bailey, Oisa Imoidin, he has to pay the owner for the article. V'eino nishba, and there's no option, as far as we're concerned, for him to swear to the owner and have the owner collect the money. Rava Omar, echod ze v'echod ze, whether it's a shomer socher or even a shomer chinam, oisei moidin, he is to pay the owner, v'eino nishba, and the swearing option, which, of course, is a swearing that results in his exemption, that is not an option. Lema, and here we have a long question. Let us say, Pliga ad Rav Huna bar Ovin. Should we say that Rava is then at odds with Rav Huna bar Ovin's approach? The Sholach Rav Huna bar Ovin, Nignava ba'oynis v'hukar haganov, im shomer chinam hu, Rotsa Oisa Imoidin Rotsa Nishba. And we've dot underlined Rotsa Nishba. This is the focus of our attention right now. Rav Huna says that if it's a Shomer Chinam, he does have the option of swearing and thereby removing himself from the picture, and the owner will collect the payment from the bandit. Ve'im shomer socher hu, oisa imoidin ve'eino nishba. And if he's a paid shomer, then he is to pay the owner for the item stolen, and he doesn't swear, he'll collect payment from the bandit. So it would appear that, first of all, that Rav Huna bar Ovin is essentially reflecting what Abaye said, and that what Rav Huna bar Ovin is at odds with Rava. Omar loch Rava. Rava says, not so. Hocha b'mayaskinon. The case that Rav Huna bar Ovin is dealing with, kagon shekidam v'nishba. Before the ganav was discovered, the shomer hastened to swear. So that's already a different story. Rava was addressing a case where first Hukar HaGanov. So the Gemara asks, though, V'ha Rotsa Oisa Imoy Din Rotsa Nishba Komar. How can Rava explain away Rav Huna bar Ovin as saying that the Shomer Chinam that he presented was a case of his swearing before Hukar HaGanov, but Rav Huna, in Rav Huna bar Ovin's presentation, he said that the Shomer has the option of Oisa Imoidin. He could have paid off the owner or sworn. So that the Rav Huna bar Ovin is not describing a case of the Shomer acting before the thief was discovered. So the Gemara answers, not so. Hachi koma rotsa shomer chinam oimed b'shvuaso rotsa oise imodin. What Rav Huna was saying is like Rava explained, that initially, before Hukar HaGanav, the shomer swore, And then what Rav Huna Bar Avin is saying is that a Shomer Chinam has the option of, being that he swore before Hukar HaGanav, he can Omei Bishvasu maintain his Shvua position, or which would result in his exemption and removing him from the picture, or he could pay the owner. And if he does that, then he, the Shomer, will collect payment from the bandit. But if initially, before the Shomer swore at all, the initially Hukar HaGanov, then it's upon the Shomer to pay the owner of the item for the item, and he, the Shomer, will collect from the bandit. Up till now, we had Roman numeral number 1, Rabba Zuti Boi Lo Hachi. Rabba Zuti has, presents the issue thusly. Nignava Ba'ines V'hifsir Ganov Beveis Shomer Umeisa Bepshia Mahu. The theft took place under onus circumstances. We mentioned before, listed mizuyan, an armed theft took place. The thief then returned the item to the home of the shomer. And then, umesu b'pshia, the entrusted animal, died as a result of the shomer's negligence. Mahu. Mi amrinon, do we say kevon de nignava ba'oinis kalya le shmiraso? Since initially the item, the animal, was stolen under ones circumstances, the shomer's obligation as shomer is finished. Kalya means completed, finished. The point that the theft took place, the gneva ba'oinis, he's relieved from his shmira obligations, and therefore the subsequent death of the animal through pshia has no relevance, doesn't create any culpability on the part of the shomer. Oidilma, kevon de hadra, hadra l'shmiraso. Or do we say once it was returned, he returns to his position of shomer, and he does bear responsibility, teku, and this remains unresolved. Now we turn to the Mishnah, but before we do so, being that there are markings in the Mishnah, we glance at the side under our Mivneh heading. We also have Roman numerals 1 and 2. The diamond highlights Teguvois HaShemer L'Tviois HaMafkid. Reactions, responses of the Shomer, of the Bailey, to the claims of the owner of the item entrusted to them. So the Mishnah. Heichon Pigdoni, an owner of an item, turns to a shomer, where is my entrusted item? Omar lo ovad, and the shomer says, well, it's lost. It got lost. Mashbiocha ani, well then, swear to that effect. Omar omein, and the shomer confirms that. He confirms the oath, namely, he swears to that effect. V'ha'edem mi'idem oisoi she'achloi. And witnesses testify that the shomer himself consumed it. Wasn't lost, but he made off with it. Mishalem Karen, the thief, that is the shomer, who is a type of thief, he made off with himself, he pays the principal. Hoide me'atzmo, if he confessed on his own that he swore falsely. Mishalem Karen, he pays the principal, v'chomesh, an additional fifth, v'osham, and a guilt offering must be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. That for having sworn falsely. Heichon Pigdoni, again, owner seeks out, where is my entrusted article? Omar lo nignav, shomer says it was stolen. Mashbiochani v'omar omein, v'edim me'idim oisur she'gunvoi, witnesses testify that the shomer himself stole it. Mishalim Tashlume Kefel. Here you see a Kefel payment, a double payment being made. This is characteristic of a Shomer Chinam who claims Nignav and swears to that effect. just like a standard ganov, thief himself, pays kefel. A shomer who swears nigdav and is turns out to be lying pays kefel. This kefel payment is on the heels of, as we said, the shomer swearing falsely and the subsequent revelation through witnesses. There's an alternative. Hoide me'atzmai, if after swearing falsely the shomer himself confesses on his own, mishalem keren choymesh v'osham. No kefel, but there is the principal, an additional fifth, and a guilt offering. Hagezel is Aviv. The Gemara, when we get to the Gemara, it's Hashem in our next shiur, the Gemara will focus on at this point of the Mishnah. Hagezel is Aviv. Person stole from his father. V'nishba lo, and swore a false oath, denying it. Umes, and the father died. And after the father's death, this thief son confessed. He hare ze mishalem keren v'choymesh levona v'leachov. The thief is to pay the principal and a fifth to the sons of his father, or to the brothers of his father, if there were no sons. So the next in line of inheritance would be his deceased's brothers. The emphasis that we want to make at this point is that even though the thief himself is a yoresh, he is an heir, that doesn't entitle him to exempt himself from payment. He has to fulfill hashava, the return, and he cannot keep for himself even an amount that would be representative of his portion of the inheritance. Let's continue in the Mishnah. V'im einoy roitze oy she'ein lo. Rashi says on the first line under the Gemara text, ein lo nechosim kolkach shiocholavater al chelkoi oy she'ein roitze lahafsid chelkoi. If this criminal son doesn't want to part with his portion of the inheritance, or he simply doesn't have enough, he doesn't have his own property enough to pay that which he's expected to pay, loive, so he will borrow from others to pay the amount due to the brothers in order to fulfill the mitzvah of hashava. Ubalei chayiv boin v'nifroim. And those from whom he borrowed will come and collect what's due to them from his portion in the inheritance. Ha'oimer livno. A man says to his son, Kainem yato nene mishali. Kainem is an expression whereby someone vows that another party is not to benefit from them. Here the father is issuing such a vow that you, referring to his son, shall not benefit from me, your father. Im meis, if the father dies, yiroshenu, that son is entitled to inherit. However, we continue at the top of Daf Kuf Tes. B'chayav of a moisai, if the father issued his restrictive vow on his son by saying, during my life and after my death, you're not to benefit from me, then he may slow your shenu. Upon the father's death, that son is not to inherit. V'yachsir levonov o le'echov. and his portion of the inheritance will go to his brothers or to his father's brothers. Vim ein lo, if the son who was the subject of the father's vow doesn't have the means of supporting himself, and as such you see how important it would have been for him to receive a portion of the inheritance, but he can't. Love, so he borrows. He borrows money upon which to support him, through which to support himself. And the creditors will come and collect their debt from his portion in the inheritance. And that is not considered a violation of the vow. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.